Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. We got the news coming up as well.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the game makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Now, maybe it's all the COVID death talk. Maybe it's our wrinkly new president. But lately, I've been thinking a lot about old people. And, you know, before we get started with this game, it's probably a good time to remind people. Prevent elder abuse. Powerful. Okay, this week's theme is movies about old people.
All right.
It wasn't too long ago on this very podcast when we discussed our bucket lists, the things we want to do before we die. Well, they made a movie about it, starring two old men who meet in a hospital and set off on the adventure of a lifetime. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman come to terms with their own mortality in 2008's The Bucket List.
This felt like the beginning. You know, at some point, A-listers, iconic A-listers, it's a kind of Robert De Niro kind of thing and Jack Nicholson kind of thing or Morgan Freeman kind of thing, where they just started doing these kind of hokey comedy, definitely came up with the title of the movie before they wrote the movie.
Yeah. I think Diane Keaton starred in a half dozen of those in the last decade.
Yeah, Pay It Forward, that title, Bucket List. We'd never heard of that term before this movie.
Right, but something happened. Like, it used to be that Al Pacino or Jack Nicholson or Robert De Niro, they wouldn't be caught dead in a movie like this. Never. Yeah. They were making like 70s gritty, you know, serious stuff. And then I don't know if it all just became, well, fuck it, we'll take the money or what.
Yeah.
But all right, let's see. These guys are great, but critics couldn't have been kind.
Did anyone see this?
No.
Probably
saw. That's a bad sign.
What would happen with movies like this is you wouldn't see them in the theater, but they would show up on rotation. Remember when cable or HBO or whatever, like they weren't doing all their original productions and all their documentaries and all their stuff like that. And so when a movie with a couple of A-listers left the theater, it would end up on HBO and they would just rotate it.
Right.
You'd see it a lot. So you end up seeing 11 minutes from the beginning and 7 minutes from Act Three, but I never saw the whole movie. I'm going to say the critics couldn't have been kind, but it probably had a lot of heart. 44.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not that far off from you. 51.
Yeah, I know nothing about this movie, but it's two of the best. It would be hard to shit on it too much, I think. I said 61.
Hey, The Bucket List is rotten.
Yeah.
At 41%.
Ooh. Crap.
The concept of our next film practically writes itself. Rocky versus Raging Bull. Stallone and De Niro face off as two aging boxers who once had a fierce rivalry. 30 years later, a boxing promoter played by Kevin Hart comes up with an offer neither can refuse, and the winner of a decades-long dispute will finally be crowned in 2014's Grudge Match.
This is the one.
Go ahead.
There's a poster. There's two posters for this movie. There's another poster. They both look bizarrely animated and photoshopped and weirdly drawn or computered something. The Grudge Match poster I'm thinking of just has both the heads of the guys like in their boxing, whatever. Yeah. But there was a whole slew of these kind of old guy boxing coming out of retirement things. Tim Basinger.
Speaking of coming out of retirement, is there going to be a series of movies that that came out that I had no interest in seeing? Because right now we're 2 for 2.
Yeah. This cannot have been liked by the critics. And that's the last thing. Doesn't it?
Is that Bryan Cranston?
Yeah.
It does look like Cranston.
Yeah, De Niro looks exactly like Cranston. It's like you took their heads and put them on different bodies.
Those are definitely photoshopped, of course.
That's weird.
It's off-putting, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's creepy.
It's creepy and off-putting. Yes, it's exactly what you're looking for in a movie poster with two A-listers.
Two iconic titans of the acting industry.
The thing that's funny is they're both on top of well-built 30-year-old bodies. So when they went to approval with De Niro and Stallone, they're like, yeah, it looks about right. That looks good. All right, it's weird.
This is no one in their camp being able to tell them no. This is no one in their camp. You know, who's going to tell Robert De Niro, now you look like a fool?
Or you look like Bryan Cranston. Who's going to tell Bryan Cranston? Yeah, you're right. It looks more like Bryan Cranston than it does De Niro. As a matter of fact, in this poster, if you just looked at the face of De Niro, you'd have no, I don't think you would guess who it was.
Uh-uh.
All right. The critics did not like this, but are we talking teens or are we giving it, 39% or something? I say they hated it at 15.
I played this game long enough to when Adam Carolla throws out a number, you go with it, 39.
Oh, yeah. Again, two of the greats. Now, remember, I should recuse myself. I have no idea what this was. In fact, I would probably give it more credit than it deserves because I know the writer of this movie. But I'm sticking in the Adam Carolla spectrum, 37.
Grudge Match is rotten at 31%.
Oh.
Yeah, what's so low?
Next up,
I got paid for this.
We have another legendary pair of actors reuniting on screen decades into their careers. Best known for The Odd Couple, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon team up to play former friends, now neighbors, who spend their days bickering over a love interest played by Anne Margaret. From 1993, Grumpy Old Men.
Have you guys seen this?
No. Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah, it's delightful.
I love this movie.
They made
it's
a
funny.
Sequel.
Burgess Meredith steals the goddamn show.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
He does.
This was during that time in the 90s where you would see this movie in the theater. Like,
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, me too. And I'm thinking today, not that we're allowed to go to movie theaters, but today you probably wouldn't see this in the theater.
No, this is a Netflix movie. This is
a Hallmark
movie of the week. Yeah, right.
All right, but this movie, Walter Matthau's good, Jack Lemmon's good, Anne Margaret's good.
Kevin Pollak, Daryl Hannah, this is a big cast.
And it's funny. And I think it was before, it's 1993, so the critics didn't, they weren't as jaded and anything. Oh, it's a bunch of white people arguing, screw that, So.
This had nostalgia.
Yeah, I thought this movie was kind of funny, and I haven't seen it in a while. I don't know if it holds up, but I think the critics were good at 73.
Oh.
This is a delightful movie. I went by my heart and said 88.
Oh, my God.
Gina, it's lovely. This is a wonderful movie.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen Grumpy Old Men either, but it looks cute, but I said 68.
Oh.
Well, Grumpy Old Men is fresh. At 63.
Oh,
that's sad.
All right, back in it.
That hurt a
lot. All right, we got a close game here.
I know I don't want to step on anything or spoil anything if one of these comes up, but do you guys know that there is something called the Brimley Cocoon line?
Mm-mm.
Where, he was 49 when he did Cocoon.
I'd heard that.
So every year, when Paul Rudd was 49, they put a picture of Wilford Brimley in 49 that they're the same age. Tom Cruise, Wilford Brimley. I mean, did Wilford Brimley come out of his mother looking like he was, 72?
I don't know, but it is a weird, it's like when you watch those old shows, like I was watching Starsky and Hutch, there used to be this thing all the time. Remember 70s and 80s rich guys? So they invited Starsky and Hutch had to go to some rich guy's like banquet or something in his home. And they always have the classical music and everyone is stuffy. And it's like rich guy, like 70s rich guy. But you start watching shows like that and you realize Starsky and Hutch. Okay, you got to find out, Max Baddon. Starsky and Hutch, the captain, their commanding officer was played by Bernie. Got to think of the guy's name.
Can't help you.
Bernie. I don't think of his name. But you watch those shows and you go, I am older now than Captain Steubing was when he did that episode. Or I am older now than Bernie, what's his name, who is the Bernie Hamilton, who is the Starsky and Hutch captain.
It's sobering.
And then you want to feel old, too. You see, Huggy Bear was played by Antonio Fargas. And Antonio Fargas' son was a standout at USC, right?
Justin Fargas. Yeah, he played in the league in the NFL. He was a 1,000-yard rusher for the Raiders.
Right, but he's too old to be in the league now.
Oh, he's washed out. He's been out for eight, 10 years.
Right, that's how you know you're old. Huggy Bear's son has gone through the NFL already. All right, sorry. What movie is this?
We don't know yet.
Oh, we don't know yet, sorry.
Next up, Clint Eastwood stars in our next film as a retired auto worker and Korean War vet who spends his days drinking beer and yelling at the neighborhood kids to get off his lawn. But when he stands up to gangbangers threatening to steal his car, an unlikely friendship develops between the reluctant hero and the minority neighbors he once despised. From 2009, Gran Torino.
I think Brian and I are split because, Brian, you're not a fan, right?
There are people who love this movie, and they are not me.
Yeah, I love this movie. A lot of people watch it every time it comes on.
A lot of people love this movie. I've never seen it, but a lot of people love this movie. So, but here's the question. Do we deduct points for Clint Eastwood being like an old racist? Or do we add points because he bridged some divide?
Do you mean in real life or in the movie?
Well, there's
because
always
the movie is very redemptive.
There's always a. I don't know if we're there. I don't know if we're there in 2009, but there is a little deduction for Clint Eastwood in his politics and in who he is. So I think there's a little deduction for that. Maybe not as heavily in 2009 as
I think
would
this
be
is
now.
Pre-empty chair. I think that was the 2012.
Right.
Republican National Convention.
Important
right.
Now.
But it was redemptive in the script.
Yes.
All right.
Very.
I think
fucking movie.
People love this movie.
I watch it every time it comes on.
I say that because people loved it, I'm going to go with an 83.
I don't know where to go on this because any critic with a brain should have said this is a piece of shit, but I'm going to 77.
I do have to at some point find out why you hated it so much. I'm going to say the critics loved it. It was a darling. 89.
Gran Torino is certified fresh at 81%.
And the people have it at 90.
In our last film.
Oh, hey. I think Starsky and Hutch drove a Gran Torino.
this is
exciting stuff.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, you know what was great about cop shows back then? And you think about it, it would like never happen. You couldn't make cop shows like this anywhere. Yeah, they drove a Gran Torino. The very opening act of one of the episodes I saw, Starsky and Hutch are like pulling up down like a side street. First off, like how would they treat crime? So like there's this couple and they're clearly like stealing stuff from this house. Like they have boxes and they're putting it in the car and they're like, those guys are ripping off that house. And right. All right, Starsky. And they're like, pull the car over. And the guys throw everything into their car and they start taking off and they just go barreling down the street. The bad guys and Starsky and Hutch both jump on to the roof of the car And then they both just start unloading a clip toward the back. It's like, bah, 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 bah. It's like, can you imagine doing a cop show now where a man and a woman were robbing a house? They're burglarizing a house. They had a box of, you know, silverware, and they're walking out. And as they're driving down the street, these guys are just unloading their cannons at the back of the car as they're speeding off like, into the neighborhood, just firing randomly into the neighborhood. Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
In our last film, an old Soviet communications satellite is threatening to fall out of orbit and crash into Earth. Well, rather than sending in the best and the brightest, NASA calls up the four old-timers who helped design the satellite's original electronics. Clint Eastwood once again stars, but this time is joined by Tommy Lee Jones, Donald Sutherland, and James Garner from the year 2000. Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys.
What?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember this one, Gina?
No. Is this a comedy?
It's a real thing.
This is another movie that I had no interest in seeing and to this day maintain.
It's a hell of a cast.
Well, we got a close game going here, people.
Yeah.
This is a close game. And it's a hell of a cast. And maybe it's a little heartwarming. I never heard anything good about it. I didn't want to see it either. But now the questions, because this could go low or this could go medium. It ain't going high. I don't think it's getting into the fresh zone, but, you know, it's a great cast. Could be 55, but could also be 29. So we don't know. But this is going to, where it can only be a few separating us at this point. All right. I am going low at 37.
When Adam Carolla throws out a number, you go with that number, 55.
Whoa. I just saw Ad Astra last night. Super boring. Hated it. But Donald Sutherland and Tommy Lee Jones both in it, so maybe that's how they got the role. 38.
Space Cowboys is certified fresh.
Oh, yes! No!
It's 78%.
Oh, no. Your face hole. There's no way.
I needed those 20 points.
And the people.
Oh, my God.
And the people have it at 53. How did this ever happen?
I don't know. I who's it directed by? Do we even know? I don't know anything about this movie.
And when would a movie like this be almost 80 with the critics and almost 50 with the people?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what so weird. 2000. Oh. Clint Eastwood directed. Oh, boy.
Wow. Oh, boy. What an upset. Mm.
This is a close game, I think.
Not anymore.
Big swing at the end of the game there, as the Space Cowboy himself would say, we're going down to swing town. Was it enough to affect the scores? Adam Carolla in a tight lead throughout. Adam's final score, 72.
Ooh.
Mm. Gina Grad, good news and bad news. The good news is you're on the podium.
Ouch.
In third place with 79.
No.
Leaving us Bald Brian.
Only seven behind Adam?
Yeah.
Was Bald Brian the gangster of love to steal this movie via Space Cowboys? His strategy was to land near the first number that the ace man called out. Sometimes that wins, sometimes it doesn't. Adam Carolla with a score of 72. Bald Brian coming in with a...
Let's hear it.
70.
Wow.
It's the one to know.
I think I've won the last three games by a combined 9 points.
And then that one by two. But what the? How could Space Cowboys be 78% with the critics?
I really couldn't tell you.
Terrible.
I don't know anything about it.
Oh. All right. I'm going to lick my wounds. Let's take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics.
Give me news with Gina Grass, the face on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala, meet news with Gina, Gina Grass.
The news with Gina Grad.
Good thing going over there at the Dodger Stadium parking lot. That was a space where you could get tested for COVID. Then it became a giant COVID-19 vaccination site, but no longer, at least over the weekend on Saturday, when hundreds of people, were waiting in line for the vaccine, queuing just all through that part of LA. Tons of cars were stalled out, prompting the LA Fire Department to close the mass vaccination site around 2 p.m. Why? Oh, because of giant protests against the vaccine.
Really?
Authorities, reopened the site.
Can you explain this, Gina? Are these far left people who are anti-vaxxers, or are these far right people?
Let me clarify for you. I have that for you right here. The LA Times says that the protesters were telling drivers the coronavirus pandemic was not real and the vaccine was the real danger. Video showed demonstrators holding signs, and we have some of them that reads COVID equals scam and tell Bill Gates to vaccinate himself. He's already been vaccinated. He did it on camera. According to one reporter on the scene, the organizer of the event referred to Bill Gates, who's a frequent target of anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, as a satanic pedophile eugenist.
Eugenicist.
I'm glad to say that's not a word I have to use very often.
This still sound, we're looking at a picture, there's people, but I can't imagine there was a ton of people. It just
seems so
insane.
They caused enough of an interruption to close the site for a while.
Wow. Got to figure out how many people there. I cannot imagine that they could get together like several hundred people and get them out there for this kookiness.
The reason I asked Gina about the far right versus the far left was in the LA Times article. I don't know if you're reading from that, Gina, but explicitly said both. And I can't imagine why they would find this to be a common bedfellow.
Right. Well, now they're best friends. This is actually Daily Beast. There were every article that I found was based on the LA Times article, but the LA Times, the way they write is not a good way to report. So I pulled another source, but it was enough to close down the site for a while. And can you imagine you're 78, you're Alan sitting in the car for 3 hours and all of a sudden you got to turn around because, they won't let you in.
Alan would have he'd have a cardboard sign over his head and be out in the throng. He'd be with them. And yeah, maybe. See if you can find some pictures, Max, about it. It just sounds nuts that this is of any size at all. I just can't imagine that there's that many people who would agree to this.
I hate to even say it. What is the rational argument for Bill Gates wanting to hurt people or what is the argument against Bill Gates?
QAnon.
Look at him.
They're satanic pedophiles.
Just look at him, Brian.
That's a good point. I would like someone to calmly and rationally explain to me in detail what Bill Gates has to gain from this. The second or third richest person in the world, depending on how his stock ends that day, is going to all of a sudden, he's giving away more money than everyone else combined.
Brian.
All of a sudden, he's going to take it upon himself to destroy the world.
The babies aren't going to eat themselves.
What is his thing? What is the controversy, Max Zapata, for Bill Gates in Africa? What are they claiming? Now, there is this, and no, there is no motivation for Bill Gates to be evil. Sometimes in the course of trying to do something noble, you end up fucking up people.
I don't doubt that he's not a great guy. Yeah, I don't know personally. I don't think he's a super person, but the motivation is absurd.
Yeah, what I'm saying is like when we in the 70s, we wanted to get rid of all the DDT because it was killing the birds. And so people in that movement got DDT outlawed. And then when we got DDT outlawed, the mosquito population in Africa went through the roof. And then a lot of people got malaria and died. So there is an element of trying to do something good, but it end up not being good. And I don't know if that's the claim with Bill Gates or not. But yes, the weird conspiracy part of it. Yes, Bill Gates he may be involved with endeavors that you may disagree with, but the notion that he's part of some scheme right. or some QAnon or something is insane.
Yeah, the hashtag is expose Bill Gates. And he's given pledged $250 million to combat the pandemic. And they claim that he has he knew about the pandemic long before he shared it with everybody else.
To what end?
Well, here's the thing. I still maintain this. The group of nut jobs, I'll lump them in with the Klan. This group of nut jobs who do believe this or QAnon or all this stuff, it is a much smaller group than we're led to believe. We make it into like this is a big thing. I'll bet you. I mean, the one picture I saw looked like there were 20 people at that fucking right. thing. So we're now. There are always going to be nut jobs. When I was growing up, there were religious cults who would go up on the mountain and wait for the rapture all the time. Like, there were nut jobs. There were just a group of nutty people pre-internet.
And there might not be, throngs and throngs, but they are loud, and some are policymakers. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been, in the spotlight lately, and she's a representative from Georgia, and she believes the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why Jewish space laser was trending over the weekend
that's real.
On Twitter. They're selling shirts now that say, ask me about my Jewish space laser.
I still do not
get that drop.
Think... I still don't think these people I still don't think these people, just like I never thought the religious nut jobs who are waiting for the rapture, I just don't feel like there's enough of numbers in them or even policymakers to affect anything. People are going to get their vaccines and no one's going to listen to these people and they'll just label them nut jobs. But I still, what did the article say? Did it say a large group?
Yeah. Let me scan it again. Hundreds of people waiting for the vaccine, so not them. Staff shifted. I don't think this article gives a number, and I don't think the LA Times article, Jermaine Jaquez, this is a person they interviewed, a man in line for the appointment that was canceled, told the Los Angeles Times that protesters were telling drivers. So it doesn't give a number. It doesn't give a number.
I got to feel like this is 25 wackadoodles. That's what I think.
But that's the thing. Whatever it was enough to halt the vaccination for whatever reason.
Yeah, but also, how long did it halt it? Like, did they scrub the whole day?
No. It was like an hour or two. But why would they have had? Why wouldn't they just shoo them away and keep the line moving?
I don't know, because everyone is just like, everyone now is just like stop everything all the time and just. I don't know why. Everyone's in their car, or if you're in your car.
Yeah. Just blocking the entrance, maybe.
Yeah. We just got to start running people over. That's the big thing. Whether you're blocking Wilshire Boulevard or you're blocking the vaccine, this is not a big throng of people. This is a smallish group of people. They're there.
I was just about to say I'm not seeing a lot of diversity in the protesters, but I'm wrong. I see two people that don't look like they came off the Mayflower.
So the articles I've been seeing just say the word dozens, and then this tweet that we're watching says there are about 40.
All right.
Dozens. All
right, let's run them over.
Problem solved?
Yeah. Agreed. Who doesn't want the fucking vaccine? Other than me, but I don't not want it either.
Yeah, you're six and one.
I'll wait around. Tell everyone's ready. I think I was talking to Drew over the weekend, and Susan, his wife, got the vaccine. That's the thing. And Drew's not getting it because he doesn't need it.
Yeah, he doesn't need it.
And something we were talking about, too, which is he's monitoring his antibody, whatever. So as long as it's a high number, then you don't need the vaccine because, but I said to him, did you get Jordan, your son, did you get him tested to see what his antibody, whatever was? And he said, no, but he said, I am off the charts. I produced a lot. And I said, well, isn't that because you were sick? And so your body fought back harder.
Right, right.
And so you created more versus your son, which had a very mild case, probably wouldn't have the same count. And he said, yeah, you're right. That's how it works. And then I said, fuck Mr. Diliberti. I failed biology in the 10th grade. How am I composing these thoughts? All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, because at the, you know, at the beginning, everyone said, well, the best you can hope for is you get it, it passes through you, then you have solid gold immunity. But like you just said, it may not work just like that. You might have to get the, you know, the worse symptoms, and that's how you know you'll be more vaccinated. We'll
but LA's, we're trending down now, right? California's trending down. Is that correct?
Yeah. We didn't get the surge that everybody promised us we'd get, but we're still super shitty compared to the rest of the country, but that's with everything.
That's true. That's with everything.
Yeah. So to your point that we've talked about a lot on this show about what is the quarantine doing to people, not the pandemic itself. This story was highlighted in Yahoo News, and I thought they deserve to be brought up. So an Illinois mother said her teenage son died by suicide after struggling with the isolation from all the lockdowns. Yahoo News reports the mother, Lisa Moore, is now suing Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois because she believes her son Trevor Till's October death was a proximate cause of the state's restrictions. The suit was filed last month, and four other parents against the governor and the Illinois High School Association. It accuses Pritzker of canceling or indefinitely delaying high school sports and activities while allowing college and professional athletics to continue. Moore wrote in a Facebook post that Trevor was super involved in Seneca High School. He was in the marching band. He played sports. He was class president. He had the lead in plays. He participated in all kinds of activities. And she said she knew the 18-year-old had history of struggling with isolation, but didn't know how bad it was. She said they talked a few days before his death in October and made plans for Thanksgiving. She said she believes her son would still be alive if Pritzker had handled the pandemic differently.
Well, I was thinking about sports. Like, think about how many people had to forego their senior year of football or basketball. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I would have definitely killed myself because that's all I was looking forward to is my senior year of football and how so many people in sports. Like I said, you go to Arizona, there's this big sports field across from the hotel we stayed at, and it's filled. And I'm talking to the driver. And it's like, yeah, those are all people from California. They just come over here so their kids can play soccer because there's nothing dangerous about playing soccer outdoors. And kids aren't really negatively affected by this whole thing. Not sure why we can't just open up the sports. Kids need to play sports, man. It is a big fucking deal for them.
Especially if you're in high school and your whole, at that point, your whole 17-year-old life has been leading up to that point. Your senior year, this is the year you get to, you know, play for the varsity team and be a captain or whatever.
I heard Newsom in it, like a rare moment of sort of clarity, saying that he wanted to open schools in California. There was a press conference or something. He didn't sound like a robot. He was just speaking in his bloviated gibberish. He was talking like a human being.
Yeah,
and he wanted to reopen the schools again.
Did the teachers union run up on stage and put duct tape over his mouth?
I think they just took a fake coffin and, like, you know, carried it. Jesus fucking Christ. Hey, listen, everybody. I know we're going to start working on getting rid of charter schools and vouchers and all that kind of shit. This is the greatest argument for private and charter and voucher. Fucking have alternatives where they're not unionized, where you could go to that school. Imagine if the kids of the inner city had an option of a school they could fucking go to, except for the ones that were controlled by the teachers' unions. And I'm also not sure why the governor and the mayor can't just go, the schools shall be open. I guess the teachers wouldn't show up. Stop fucking paying them then. This is insane. They are sitting at home getting paid, and now they're controlling policy. I do believe Newsom wants to reopen the schools.
Well, and I'm kind of talking out my ass because I don't know if they've already been vaccinated or not. But to compromise, bump them up in the vaccination line. Get them vaccinated so they feel like they can go back. What is wrong with that? Why do they have to be waiting behind everyone else? Get them vaccinated and they can go back.
I agree, but there isn't any good reason why a 33-year-old woman should need to get vaccinated to go teach in front of a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Wouldn't that be a good compromise?
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Gina's right. Like, they're in the tier. I'm looking at it right now on the LA County website. They have not been permitted to get the vaccine, education and child care. They should be up there with healthcare workers, or at least right behind healthcare workers.
Well, here's the deal. We have a limited amount of vaccine, obviously. So we want to get it to whoever's at risk first. And who is at risk are the elderly, for sure. And then who's in harm's way? Healthcare workers who are dealing in close proximity with lots of old and infected people. Teachers.
Point of information. I should just point out that the tier that is ahead of teachers are like acupuncturists, chiropractors, like not emergency room workers. That's a much higher tier.
I'm fine with vaccinating teachers. But what the teachers are saying is you must do this thing that doesn't really make statistical sense or we won't go back and do our fucking jobs. And the people who pick up the garbage and the people at the Trader Joe's and the people who are working in our society, construction workers and road crew guys, they all went back. They're not all getting vaccinated to go do their fucking jobs. If you work at a McDonald's or you work at a Trader Joe's or you work on a road crew, or you work on a construction crew, you fucking go to work. So just fucking buck up and go to work. That's what I'm saying. Is there danger? Yes. Minuscule. But danger, not statistically for people in your age range and with the kids, your clientele are a bunch of young kids who aren't really affected by this. So fucking get back to work, cowards. How about it? I thought you loved the kids. I thought that was your whole thing. Or are you just fucking narcissists that do nothing but worry about your own safety? Go the fuck back to work. Schools should be open. It's been a year. It's nuts. Be a hero. Remember teachers? Remember you guys? You're heroes. Guess what fucking heroes do? They don't puss out. No hero pusses out. You guys are heroes. Good. You're heroes. I applaud you. Now get the fuck back to work. You stay home. You get paid. You work from your fucking pajamas. And it's so fucking easy. Cut the payoff. I don't know if Newsom has control over these people or they're just. I know in Chicago,
sure
they don't want to go back.
Strong.
Oh, yeah. Their union's strong and they're not going back to work. But get the fuck back to work because you're an essential worker. I would call that essential. You're a teacher. That's an essential job. All right, heroes. Act like fucking heroes. Did you find that Newsom thing?
Well,
I heard it from last week.
Yeah, it was taken off of YouTube for unknown reasons. But some of the
it's taken off of YouTube for unknown reasons?
Deplatformed. Yeah. The governor has been deplatformed.
Well, the articles that are appearing lately is he was talking to like a school board. It was like a big meeting, and some of the quotes were let me pull them up. I just had a pop.
And does Newsom want to open the schools?
Well, it sounds like he says if everyone has to be vaccinated, then we might as well just tell the people the truth. There will be no in-person instruction in the state of California. You can find whatever you look for. If you want to find reasons not to open, we'll find plenty of reasons. But
basically said, look, if your deal is we don't go back into the classroom until all teachers are vaccinated, then we're not going to have a school year. In-person school year. Because we're talking June or July or whatever. School will be over. So Gavin Newsom, the biggest fucking pussy in the world, is now on my side on this story. All right, heroes. Take that cape. Take the cape off long enough to go back and do your fucking job.
Strange bedfellows. Gavin Newsom.
So this is with the Association of California School Administrators. It's a virtual meeting. And yeah, he just says don't mislead people. If vaccinations is the absolute, then maybe we should be having a different conversation with the people of the state of California and parents.
Yeah, it's true.
Why is that video off of YouTube?
All articles are saying, yeah, for unknown reasons, it is no longer on YouTube.
So I saw him doing the press conference. Yeah. He sounded normal. He's like, He was actually doing what a pragmatic person does, which is, if this is your criteria for going back into the school classroom, well, it's just, let's face it.
Let's call it what it is.
We're going into February. In February here, we're not going to make it. The school's out in May or June, you know? Yeah. I mean, school ends end of May, early June.
Yep.
By the time all you guys get vaccinated, school's over. There's right. no in-person. It was actually Newsom actually sort of sounding like a pragmatic person who was conveying information. Why that got pulled off the internet is weird to me. Do you guys have theories on that? What do you think? I don't know enough about it. It sounds a little weird, but why? There's no profanity or nudity or anything. Why would something like that be removed?
Could Newsom's team have petitioned to pull it off?
I think it's more likely the other side.
But the other side, yeah, I don't know.
Like the teachers union, right? Wouldn't it be more likely?
I'm kind of with Gina. Like, there's a rare instance of our boss making sense. We can't let this out to the public.
I think it would be easier for the person who said it to get it pulled off than somebody who didn't like
it. That's also kind of how I was thinking as well. What do you think, Max Zapata? You're young.
I know. I'm kind of along with you guys. Like, maybe he didn't want that to make as big of headway as it did.
Well, it's definitely a bunch of high def footage of the governor kind of telling the teachers unions, hey, man, you got to get it together.
Right.
And maybe he didn't want that out there.
They are his biggest backer.
Right. So he was kind of getting into it with his biggest backers. But how does YouTube work? You get to just get that shit removed?
You can make your video private.
You have
control of whatever you, yeah.
Well,
like if it's the governor's office who posted it or
right,
something.
Right.
State.
So Newsom took it down.
Yeah,
all right.
Perhaps.
Hold on. All is right in the world. Fuck that pussy. Jesus Christ. It was so weird. It was like a weird moment of clarity. Like I was going, yeah, Gavin Newsom, I agree with what he says. This is good. So
but it
he
shall
took,
never be seen again.
He took the video down.
If it was on a channel, all I know is it was on YouTube. It was made inaccessible and taken off for unknown reasons.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more, Gina Grant.
Okay. Well, let's do something kind of fun. Mike Jack of London, Ontario, ate 3 Carolina Reaper chili peppers in less than 10 seconds, 9.72 seconds. Now, we were just talking about hot ones and all that. So let's take a deeper delve into what this means. He set the Guinness Book World Records for fastest time to eat 3 of those peppers, which Guinness says are the world's hottest.
That's the way to do it, is 3 in 10 seconds. We're only doing 3 in 3 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Guinness certified the Carolina Reaper as the world's hottest pepper in 2017. Guinness says the chili pepper delivers an average of 1.5 million Scoville heat units. The average jalapeno, just to give you some, you know, context, is between 25,000 and 8,000 on the Scoville scale. And we do have a little, I mean, this is a long video, but here's just a little clip of what it looked like for Mike Jack to eat. Wincing.
Gotta wear a headband when you eat the Reaper.
I like his logo. His logo's on the t-shirt.
The record?
He's getting a little trucks.
Record was.
Got a bucket.
I don't want to see
nothing
him
goes
yet.
In it, though. Nothing
okay.
goes in it.
All right. I don't like watching guys yet. Yeah. He's got slobber. All right. That's enough. Let me tell you guys, you know my theory about kicking the bed frame or cutting a pinky off on a bandsaw? It's just there's a certain amount of pain. There's a certain amount of anguish and mental pain, I believe, as well. Like, I think your team losing the Super Bowl for that afternoon is as bad as a parent dying in the anguish. Now, one of them goes on. One of them goes on. The Super Bowl loss.
I'm still thinking about the loss to the Chiefs.
How about me and the Rams?
Sure. Adam, for you, I buy it.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you think about your mood or your personal anguish, let's say.
Yeah.
You get to a certain level And it doesn't really get past that level. It just goes on. If you lose a son or a daughter, you get to that level. The problem is that level hangs out for 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But your team losing or finding out you just got fired or being dumped by your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you can get to that level.
It's just devastation.
Right. So
you know, another example with kids is taking a toy away. They don't. Right. That's the context of the most hurtful thing that can happen to them. And it looks stupid to us, but they've never experienced pain like that.
And, you know, as I think about it, and I never thought about it, the question in terms of mental health is not do you get to that level? Everyone who gets dumped by someone they're in love with or gets fired from their favorite job or has their team, you know, everyone experiences that feeling. The healthy people mend fast. The healthy people aren't the healthy people. You don't talk to them in 6 months and they're still pissed off at their boss or their girlfriend or whatever that thing is. It's not that you don't get there. It's how fast you recover. It's like it's literally like what your body does. It's what a healthy person does when they're injured, how quickly they recovered versus a person that's in bad shape. But back to the Scoville scale, from a guy who's been to the million mark on the Scoville scale, if I order Chinese food and you get the chicken and broccoli or whatever, and it's got that weird red pepper that's floating around in there.
A little chili.
Yeah, they toss like 7 of them in there and you try to avoid them, but every once in a while you don't and you bite into it. That thing's probably 5,000 on the Scoville scale. I've done 1 million on the Scoville scale. It is the same amount of pain. It feels the same.
Really?
Because they both will get you to your threshold of most fucked up. That's kind of what I'm saying. Now, a peppercorn is not going to get you there. I'm saying once you kick that bed frame hard enough with your bare feet in the morning, you just get to that point. Yeah. You get to that.
It's just spicy.
It just happened to me.
That's how we are. That's like when that thing where they go like. Unemployment, you know, do you make 10 to 20,000? At a certain point, they just go over 80,000. You're just in that category. That's your category. So I feel like emotional pain, physical pain, and Scoville scale pain. You just get to that point because I am telling you, for the moment that you bite into that pepper that's 5,000 when you're eating your chicken and broccoli, it is every bit the same as the 1 million.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, think about it. Let's do the math. If you bite into the pepper and the chili pepper's at 4,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is, and it's like, I got to drink water. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, this is miserable. Well, then imagine 1 million. You would explode or you'd have to kill yourself.
Your eyeballs would pop out.
You'd run in the kitchen and grab a knife and fall on it. Like, if it really was that different. There's a big difference between 5,000 and 1 million.
Worse. If it was that exponentially worse, then
You'd have to drown yourself. You'd have to stick your head in a bathtub. Yeah.
Right. So it makes sense that your body and your brain just kind of top out at
That's a good point.
Super miserable, super uncomfortable, super depressed, super anguished. You know, we just get to this threshold. And then we don't go further than that because 1 million would be completely insane considering how shitty 5,000 feels.
That is a phenomenal point.
Thank you. Let's go out on my phenomenal point. Okay. Ricky Williams is going to join us tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Former Miami and
Saints.
And one of the, I would call him, what do we call it? Idiosyncratic? Is that the word?
Eccentric.
Yeah, guys in the NFL. I don't know what he's up to now, but interesting guy.
Living in the yurt.
Had a good time with Ditka, I think. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oklahoma City Bricktown Comedy Club coming up February 26th, 27th. Do live pods there, and then we'll do stand-up as well. And Waukegan, Illinois, Genesee Theater, May 6th. Some of the shows got canceled because of the COVID thing. So just go to amcroll.com and find your dates, and you check out our stand-up. We got a lot of free stand-up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Chris put it all up there. It's a lot of how many bits are up there, Max Zapata?
I don't know. Dozens.
Dozens. Dozens of protesters. So until next time, Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, and Bob Bryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook at Adam Carolla. You can follow him on Twitter there as well. And Instagram, too, at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.